Welcome to this podcast, brought to you by the Journal of Healthcare Contracting and sponsored by McKesson. And now, our host, publisher John Pritchard.
Welcome to today's podcast. I'm John Pritchard, publisher of the Journal of Healthcare Contracting. As patient care migrates out of hospitals and into non-acute settings, supply chain leaders are being tasked with driving improved cost, quality, and outcomes in these facilities. This creates new challenges for supply chain leaders who are trying to meet the unique needs of each non-acute location, including developing a cohesive supply chain and standardized policies, processes, and technologies. Today, I'm speaking with Tyler Ross, Director of Supply Chain Operations at Novant Health, on the evolution of Novant Health's non-acute supply chain. He's going to share his thoughts on taking control of the non-acute continuum and delivering value to as many stakeholders. Tyler, I'd like to welcome you to today's podcast. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much, John. I'm happy to be here. I appreciate the opportunity.
So tell me, how did healthcare supply chain become your life's work?
Well, so I started in supply chain about 10 years ago. I was a second lieutenant in the U.S. Marine Corps and was fortunate to be given the opportunity to become a logistics officer, which kind of dictated my career path while I was in the Marine Corps. I spent 5 years there. Really enjoyed just the concept of providing logistics support to disparate locations, you know, across what we would call the battle space, really across, large areas of territory, and thought it was an interesting challenge and something that I wanted to continue to pursue as a civilian. Was fortunate when I was honorably discharged from the Marine Corps to join Novant Health, actually out in Wilmington, North Carolina, which was where I was stationed. So got to spend some more time on the beach. It was fantastic. But joined as a supply chain manager at one of our facilities out there, and have since just kind of gravitated towards the non-acute space, having been promoted a few years ago to this role, and really looking at Novant Health and kind of how we're growing into the non-acute space just so rapidly. The challenge I think that it presents, as well as the fulfillment and the satisfaction you get, you know, not only doing supply chain well, but also doing it in the healthcare space, knowing everything is directed towards patient satisfaction and patient care, has really kind of been what has driven me to this specific niche within healthcare supply chain.
That's interesting. Thank you for your service, first and foremost. It's interesting to hear of a military background. In healthcare supply chain, I'm actually seeing more of that, which is interesting. And the background, a lot of the folks that come from the military and supply chain is much more focused on logistics as opposed to purchasing, which I think will do our industry well. So that's an interesting background. I want to jump into some operational questions, if we could. You know, as patient care moves out of the acute care, how does a health system effectively manage its non-acute facilities? How does the complexity of non-acute affect the way you specifically manage everything outside of the hospital?
I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. You know, complexity is kind of the key word when we talk about non-acute. The way that Novant Health kind of approaches this is, like you said, anything that is outside of the standard acute care kind of medical center setting is what we consider non-acute. So, you know, I think in terms of our scope, kind of how large Novant Health is, you know, we have 15 hospitals in our system. We also have 600 plus clinics throughout four states, from Northern Virginia, kind of Washington, D.C. area, down into South Carolina. So kind of the mid-Atlantic down to the Southeast. Along with those 600 clinics, we have 12 surgery centers as well that are outpatient. So really what that entails for us is kind of, a culture change in supply chain from how we view distribution efficiency and how we view supply chain support. Because, of course, traditionally, healthcare supply chain focused on those kind of bulk ordering, bulk logistics processes, going from maybe a central distribution center or distributor to the loading dock of a large facility. You know, we're now talking about low volume, high density across, you know, a large footprint, really a logistics challenge that is relatively new, I think, in this scale to healthcare, especially when you talk about a systematized approach where not just individual doctor's offices, but now a system approach of, for us, 600 plus or hundreds or even into the thousands for the larger healthcare systems of integrated non-acute locations. So all of that kind of screams complexity. And I think for the way that we have decided to approach this, and we decided to form a non-acute specific team in January of 2018. I'm the head of that team. I've been the head of the team since we started, and I have a very small, robust team. And I think a lot of that is because, you know, we're still proving kind of the concept of non-acute supply chain. I think we're trying to kind of lead that charge in healthcare in the United States. But because of that, you know, we needed to start at the clinic level, very basic, with our end users. Because for them, you know, for folks in a clinic, nobody does supply chain purchasing, you know, procurement, any of that as their sole, you know, function at that location. It's typically a nurse who, you know, is their second or third collateral duty of the day is to, oh, by the way, go order supplies. So we decided to approach this at the clinic level a few years ago and look at what I call supply chain 101, which is kind of, let's talk about your basics. Let's talk about how you're organized in your space. And are you labeling? Are you ordering? Do you have basic PAR levels, that kind of thing? And I've since grown into what I now call supply chain 201, which is talking about supply chain as a integrated entity with multiple chains and channels and how one location's actions can maybe affect the others positively or negatively. So really, we've taken this complex challenge of supplying 600 clinics and enabling our end users to be supply chain professionals from kind of the crawl, walk, run model of let's talk about the basics and then move into more kind of conceptual, theoretical concepts. At the end of the day, we just want to make sure that remains a topic and that the understanding between the clinics and our supply chain department remains, you know, focused on patient care and, of course, cost avoidance.
I'd like to switch gears a little and ask you some financial questions. It's so hard to talk about supply chain without getting into the financial aspect of it. You know, supply chain is such a large expense. How do you balance the challenge of really reducing your operating expenses without sacrificing patient care?
So right now, you know, I think like with any large health system, IDN, we really try to leverage partnerships with our GPO. With our strategic sourcing team in general, GPO or non-GPO contracting, and, you know, primary distributors as well, such as McKesson, to kind of find that confluence of value and savings. So really, that's where we're looking at. Of course, this is healthcare. We're not looking at just what is the most inexpensive option in every scenario. We're really trying to find that intersection of here's the value we're trying to drive, here's the results we would like to see, and kind of here's cutting-edge technology. And then here is, you know, the intersection of what is, you know, feasible for us to do from a cost perspective. So really, I think that is our biggest strength right now from a operating expense perspective is those relationships with the GPO and with our prime distributors who, you know, with 70% of my supplies coming through my CSC, still 30%, you know, annualized over 600 plus locations is a significant amount of business. For our non-internal distributors, and really leveraging those relationships has been key to our success so far. And I would say that's probably the biggest thing that, you know, we try to focus on at the clinic level is, hey, if it doesn't come from the NLC, which is what we call our CSC, I'd like you to look at McKesson or another prime distributor with whom we have, you know, a fantastic distribution agreement and top tier pricing.
It's interesting. Are there ways supply chain can help the system actually drive revenue?
It's one thing I'm looking at right now. I think, you know, I really like the idea of potentially moving retail products to the clinic, especially when we talk about things like durable medical equipment, even things like soft casting or even crutches, you know, something like that where we could actually drive revenue from the clinic level that would benefit the system, you know, as more and more patient interactions occur in the non-acute space. I believe the last figure I saw was potentially up to 85% of visits in 2019 will be in a non-acute location. I think it's an opportunity to not only provide value to the patient as a one-stop shop, but also provide value back to the organization as potentially introducing some kind of retail setup. But I think, you know, really that's cutting edge kind of concept right now, especially the whole explosion of non-acute still being so fresh and so new. Still something we are evaluating, but would also, you know, really appreciate some benchmarking on as well to see the ROI on that. But really, you know, even from a non-revenue, but maybe giving money back to the system perspective, last year, just by kind of improving our supply chain efficiencies at the clinic level and really just basic things like ordering on a set schedule, you know, treating your clinic as if it were your own pantry and not having, you know, way too much stuff on hand, but really being lean, thinking about what you need. We were actually able to help avoid over $1 million of potential spend across our medical group last year. So even maybe not technically revenue, it's also, you know, giving money back to the organization, which I think is almost, you know, as important when we look at, you know, a multi-billion-dollar industry. We also talk about revenue in the terms of, you know, what are we going to contract for? And of course, when with reimbursement, what is the most cutting edge kind of technology? What do our patients deserve? And can that help drive revenue from a reimbursement perspective after we adopt maybe a new lab test or something like that? So definitely something that we think about daily, especially in our interactions with our big distributors such as McKesson.
That's interesting. That'll be interesting to watch as that progresses. I'd like to just ask you a couple clinical questions. It's so hard for health system supply chain leaders to, you know, strictly look at everything as product, because they all have, you know, all your processes and initiatives have a clinical slant to them. You know, how can the supply chain affect clinical outcomes? Can it?
I think we can. I at least think that we are a direct enabler to clinical outcomes because, you know, as we like to say, doctors are very, very talented individuals, but can only do so much with their bare hands. So, you know, I think one thing Novant Health does a really good job of is, of course, clinical integration in decision making, especially when we're talking about kind of large scale projects or initiatives for products or tests that we may want to introduce to Novant Health. We involve doctors and nurses and clinical team members from initiation to adoption to implementation. And really, our sourcing team does a fantastic job of aligning with their respective clinical leaders for their different categories and allowing them to help drive, you know, what's the next step, what's the next industry you want to look at, what's the next kind of test. You tell us what would be beneficial to you and your patients, and we as a sourcing supply chain team will do our best to find the appropriate vendor to fill that need. So really, to me, I think that clinical integration is incredibly key, because then when we're making decisions and writing contracts with suppliers or manufacturers, we have that kind of warm and fuzzy feeling that this has been looked at, blessed off by the folks who will actually be laying hands on patients. So I do think we are a direct enabler to better outcomes.
That's interesting. Now, I understand recently Novant moved to molecular lab testing. How'd that affect patient care?
It so far has been really, really, really positive. So about a year ago, we made the decision to move to molecular testing for flu, strep, and RSV. So, you know, kind of a phased approach to this, of course. This is one of those, you know, one of those concepts we discussed a little bit earlier about, you know, how do we drive revenue? This is one of those things, I think, a conversation that would have been very tough for us to have if we didn't have a dedicated team to focus on non-acute supply chain. And here's what I mean by this. You know, so previously we have used across the board a, you know, disposable kind of one-time use flu test, RSV test, strep test, at, you know, of course, a decently inexpensive cost, you know, price point, but, you know, non-reusable kind of in and out, and of course, no molecular aspect to it. And as we know, in the lab world, molecular testing really is the cutting edge of technology. So when we were looking at, you know, this is probably the right thing to do, move to this space, of course, provide better outcomes for our patients, higher accuracy, you know, in-clinic testing as opposed to sending things off for testing and waiting a day or two. It's really within a matter of minutes, we can get a result now. Of course, that engenders a higher initial cost. There's now equipment involved in the clinic. There's now, you know, molecular testing in general is just higher cost of disposables that go into it. So really that discussion between yes, it's going to be higher up front, but here's why it's worth it. And also here's how our reimbursement makes up that difference and actually provides it a profit or some revenue off of that in the long run. I think having a supply chain team to help drive that discussion really helped the adoption at the clinic level well more than we could have potentially 2 or even 3 years ago. And really, it's gone fantastically. We're still kind of phasing it in. Over half of our clinics have now adopted it as we phase out the disposables. We do anticipate by the end of this year, as we're in the throes of flu season right now, to be completely phased in with our molecular flu testing at least. So it's been a very, very strong addition to our repertoire. And as a patient of Novant Health as well with young children, I've seen firsthand the benefits of having molecular testing available in clinic. Or instead of waiting several days on with bated breath to see if my child has the flu, I can find out in a matter of minutes.
That's interesting. It sounds like quite a interesting role you kind of played as convener there between supply chain, lab diagnostics, and clinicians. Was that a challenge managing those conversations?
I would say, you know, I kind of call myself an air traffic controller in a lot of ways. I really try to represent, you know, both, you know, all sides of the discussion. And of course, McKesson, who's our primary lab distributor from a soft good perspective and test perspective, has been fantastic to work with in this, especially. I think they bring a lot of value, especially to the lab space. So I do try to act as kind of the conduit for discussion between, you know, Novant Health lab experts, our folks in McKesson, the contracting perspective, and our strategic sourcing team to say, you know, here's where we see an opportunity, here's where we would like to drive value, and here's how we'd like to implement, and then kind of go forth. So in these kind of situations, I do end up acting like a program manager in a lot of ways. And of course, as a supply chain operations professional, when it comes to implementation, that's really where my team takes over. So we will guide discussion and kind of moderate throughout the contracting portion. And then, for example, with our molecular tests, when we're ready to implement and roll out, we'll jump in and do the logistics behind it. But yeah, definitely challenging. I think for me, you know, in the non-acute space, there is so much complexity, not just from a logistics supply chain perspective, but also just from a clinical perspective, how many different specialties are represented. And how I really learned how much I didn't know, especially in the lab space, that I know now, just having worked in the space now for 2 years. But I think, like any professional, just constantly trying to continue learning and understand what, you know, what our patients need and what our clinical team members would appreciate. And I think, again, integrating our clinicians in decision making really helps make that decision making process very, very seamless.
What does success look like for your non-acute initiative, and how do you measure it?
You know, so that was a very big challenge, especially when we first started, and it remains to be so. I think one of the issues that we face right now is just kind of a lack of overall benchmarking kind of nationally. When you talk about a large systematized approach to a non-acute footprint, right? So we're no longer talking about, you know, local medical groups that maybe comprise 15, 20 clinics. We're really not talking almost at all about small individual family practices. I really think that whole model is going to be kind of a thing of the past here before long. You know, we're talking about large health systems that have really made their name in acute care, now systematizing and building, you know, new locations in the non-acute space rapidly. I mean, I think right now, since I've taken over 2 years ago for the non-acute supply chain team, we've added one hospital in Novant Health. We've added 170 clinics, which is unbelievable when you think about that. And a hospital, a lot goes into it, but it's at the end of the day, from a supply chain perspective, it is one requesting location. It's one ship to location. You know, you talk about 170 clinics across three different states, really four states. You think about that and the logistics behind it, it is the challenge. So I think that benchmarking piece is starting to come into a little bit more of its own. I think McKesson's done a good job kind of leading that charge. And I know they've developed their roadmap for non-acute success. It's something that we, I say we use, but I think it is kind of interesting when we read it. It seems almost like a book that Novant Health could have helped write as well, which makes us feel very, very good that maybe we're on the right path. But as far as, you know, measuring success, we started out looking at, you know, basic kind of supply chain KPIs, such as what's our current fill rate, what's the fill rate of our external vendors, What are our lines per order looking like? What's our orders per week looking like? How's our stat kind of overnight ordering? And really what that tells us is, you know, lines per order, are we batching? Are we being effective with our placement? Are we sitting down at some point in the day and intentionally doing supply chain? Or are we just doing it whenever somebody hands me a sticky note saying I'm out of gloves? You know, of course, that's not the way we want to do it. Let's look at that from a process perspective. Orders per week, again, let's try to be intentional for what we're doing. Understand that placing one line orders consistently is really going to gum up the works up the supply chain, really trying to talk about the downstream effects of not being efficient at the end user level. And of course, overnight kind of stat ordering, besides the cost that goes into it, hey, that's really an indicator of you're not doing a great job maintaining your inventory. I think that the term that I, the kind of example I always use is, for me at least, we go grocery shopping once a month or once a week, and we try not to go more than that. And so if you're ordering every day, that's like the equivalent of I'm going to go to the grocery store every single day for one or two items and really trying to drive that concept of leanness and efficiency and making the most out of your quote-unquote trips to the store. What we've started to look at recently, however, is more from a standardization perspective. So we still incorporate our standard kind of supply chain tried and tested KPIs that we use in the acute space. But I think in the non-acute space, you really try to drive cost efficiency. These budgets at the individual clinic level are a lot smaller than at the hospital level. So really a couple dollars here or there makes a much larger impact. And one way that we measure that is by looking at, you know, contract versus non-contract ordering. I kind of look at it as, you know, what items are, quote, on sale, we're getting a discounted price for, and what items are you paying full list price for. And I'm proud to say, you know, over the first 2 years of this team's existence, we've decreased our non-contract ordering by nearly half, which has been fantastic. And a lot of that is really just, A, you know, pointing our clinics to the right direction to know where to look to find better value from a cost perspective, but also B, listening to our clinics and integrating products that they may want or need onto a contract. And really that's another way that McKesson and other distributors have helped us is to be flexible when we're talking about, hey, can we add this? Can we add this? Can we add this to the contract? Providing value to our clinics, getting a better price, and also filling a clinical need. So those kind of things is what we look at. What we're really excited about, you know, very recently we started looking at what we call the cost per patient encounter metric. And that is really driving into, it's great to look at all these supply chain KPIs, but what does that mean to you if you're a clinician? You know, what does that mean to you? It's great that you see me telling you you're saving money and you're being efficient. And as a supply chain professional, I'm very excited about that. Not everybody's a supply chain professional. So what we look at now is cost per patient encounter, meaning for every patient encounter, how much money are you spending from a supply perspective? And that has been really eye-opening. And I think what it's helped us to do is look at, you know, not just a large network of 600 clinics as a whole and look at not just one individual clinic at a time, but look at, let's look at subsects of similar clinics, similar patient volume in the same geographic region and isolate variances. And that cost per patient encounter has really been a great kind of determination of who is doing supply chain efficiently when it comes to, for every time a patient comes through the door, I'm spending less money on supplies. And that has been fantastic. So again, we're still evolving those metrics, but that is kind of the direction we're going, is saying, let's take traditional supply chain KPIs and apply them to our patient visits and what our docs care about, really try to tie the two together and ultimately put things in financial terms that we all understand.
Thank you, Tyler. What a fascinating conversation today with Tyler Ross, Director of Supply Chain Operations at Novant. Tyler, thank you so much for joining us today. And listeners, thanks for joining us on today's podcast.
Thank you.
We'd like to thank McKesson Medical Surgical for their thought leadership on creating the roadmap to non-acute success. Managing the non-acute continuum can be particularly challenging due to the complexity and fragmentation across the different and unique care settings. No one non-acute facility has the same service requirements. Having a roadmap helps health systems to take control of their non-acute continuum for operational, clinical, and financial success.